Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 13th of December, 2011. It's a snow day up in Flagstaff. Schools are closed up there. The snow has arrived. Here in Tucson, it's day two of the Seattle version of Tucson weather. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are on our home station, KVOI. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Then a big shout out to our partners at KJAA AM 1240, listening to the Buckmaster Show in Gila County in Globe, and at KAPR AM 930. They listen to the Buckmaster Show in Douglas and Cochise County there on KAPR. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. We also have live streaming at kvoi.com. Also, three venues for 24/7 anytime listening of our program. Those venues are buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We start the show with a newsmaker interview with Steve Pierce, Mr. Pierce, the new state Senate president. 20 minutes past the hour, it's the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Half past the hour, Keith Rosenblum, the Buckmaster Show contributor on Mexico, will join us from Hermosillo on the Buckmaster Show live line. We'll be talking about the upcoming Mexican presidential elections. Then we wrap up this show today with Margaret Regan. She is the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, and she is the Buckmaster Show contributor on the arts. She has bi-monthly arts updates for us, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Now we begin the Buckmaster Show with Steve Pierce, the new state Senate president. Senate President Pierce, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
How is the job going so far?
It's good. It's a challenge. There's a lot of things that have happened in the legislature. We have, in the last session, we've had a new whip, we've had a new majority leader, and then a new president. So it's been tumultuous, but we're going to get through it and do the good things we need to do.
What's your management style compared to the previous Senate President, Russell Pierce?
And I spell my name P-I-E-R-C-E. you know, Russell's a good friend. He's done well.
He's no relation to you.
No relation, okay. But we're good friends. And we did a lot of good things in the legislature but under his leadership. But I'm more inclusive, I believe. I've been meeting with everyone up in the Senate. I've been meeting with Republicans and Democrats, and I think I'm a big listener. I like to listen to people and hear what they want and hear what they need and then try to respond to that.
What kind of cuts, if any, I suppose you're trying to avoid any kind of major cuts for next year's Arizona budget?
Yeah, I think going forward we're going to be able to just be status quo. I don't see any major cuts anywhere. I see attempts to restore because we have money. We're back in the black, but it's a little premature to do anything with that money. We have a cliff coming to us in 2014 when the 1 cent sales tax from Prop 100 runs out. We're getting into that, and we need to be ready to pay for it. The money that we have ahead right now it's already been spent.
So that money is through the year calendar or the fiscal year 2013, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
But then there's the big cliff, as you say.
Then there's a cliff.
What kind of money are we talking about?
Well, you know, it could be $1 billion is what we originally projected, but now we think it's going to be much less. We're ahead. Revenues grew 7% for the last year, 11% the first quarter, and I think we're going to be all right. The governor's office projects that we will be able to get by, that we can. We might have a small shortfall, but we think we can get by on it.
What kind of treatment do you expect Jerry Lewis to receive in the Senate? Mr. Lewis, of course, defeated former Senate President Russell Pierce in that recall election. How will he be treated?
He'll be treated like a senator. He has one vote, and I'm going to try to make sure that happens. He has the same vote that I have, and He's really a nice person. I've met him a number of times, and I look forward to working with him. A number of people don't appreciate how he got there and the recall that happened with Russell, but it's time to look forward, put that behind us, and start saying we got to get roll our sleeves up and get down to work and do what people want.
The new Senate president is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He is Steve Pierce. If you'd like to ask a question of Mr. Pierce, we would be delighted to take that question, 790-2040, 790-2040. Tell our listeners a bit about your background, Steve Pierce.
Well, I'm a rancher. I'm not a politician. I was born in Phoenix and grew up in Prescott on a ranch. I still have the ranch. I raised cattle and horses, and I went to school at the University of Arizona, as you did. I know the same haunts that you know. And
that's it.
We probably ran into each other.
We're both children of the 60s.
Yeah, I probably sat next to you on a stool at the Green Dolphin and didn't know it.
Yeah, and had the same leather sandal maker.
Yeah, Stanley sandals.
That's it. The big issues of this legislative session, you know, we talked a little bit about the money running out on the sales tax. What about the education cuts? Will education perhaps be off limits this time around?
Yeah, I think education, we've talked a little bit about it, and there's people working on that. I think we're going to be all right in education. I think there are some reforms that need to happen, but as far as additional cuts, I just don't see it right now. If we can be status quo like we have been the past, like the last session, I think we're going to be all right. I just don't see any deep cuts. I think we did the right thing in the last session. We had a balanced budget that had no gimmicks. We didn't borrow any money. It was a good balanced budget, the first one in a number of years, and I think that's good. In the past, we had education rollovers. That's an accounting technique that didn't help anything except balance the books. We don't want to do those anymore. If anything, we would restore some of those education rollovers. But the Appropriations Committee is working on that right now as we speak, and I see that's probably one of the options.
Of course, you are a Republican, and every time we have a Democrat on this program, they always say the same thing. They say they have not had, in the past few years, a seat at the table when it comes to budget negotiations. Are you looking to be a little more bipartisan than the way things have been in the last few years?
We're going to try. You know, each Democrat, in fact, like Paula Bowd was at the U of A when I was down here. And we're good friends. Each Democrat has the same number of constituents behind them that I have. And I think we have a supermajority. They're in the superminority. But we need to listen to them. We need to have them have a say and listen to who they are representing. And they could have some good things to bring forward.
Russell Pierce, of course, was known for his controversial immigration legislation. The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday deciding that SB 1070 will go before the highest court in the land. Will immigration perhaps take a back burner this session?
I think our priorities got to be looking forward for the state and the economy of the state. We have people that are concerned about keeping their jobs, about feeding their families, making their home payments. And we've got to address that. We've got to look towards making Arizona business-friendly to get businesses to move here and start creating new jobs for people and put people back to work. Immigration is very important, especially in southern Arizona. But I believe right now people are really wanting to have the economy dealt with, and I think that's what we need to be concentrating on.
How do we make Arizona more business-friendly?
You know, there's a lot of specific things that are being worked on right now. I can't say exactly what they are, but I know that we have committees working on them and JLBC is working on them, and there's going to be a lot of things that we can do as incentives or in reforms that less regulation that will help businesses move forward. Regulation has gotten to the point where it takes so long to get a business going. You have to buy so many permits, you have to buy so many licenses, and it needs to be streamlined. It needs to be done online and make it easy, and we can do all that and make it better.
Senate President Steve Pierce is our guest here on the Buckmaster Show. What about a rainy day fund? The budget, perhaps better days are ahead for Arizona as far as the sales tax revenues. They are looking quite a bit stronger, are they not, than a year ago at this time?
Yes, they are. And everything, we can look back and everything looks better than it has in the past. And we can be proud of how we made the cuts and did the things that were necessary in the past. Going forward, looking forward, I think we're going to be okay on finances. I believe the projections are going to be good. The rainy day fund is probably going to be discussed, whether we actually have the rainy day fund or use the money to pay down some debt or put it towards education rollovers. We're going to look at all those options, and it's possible it could end up being a rainy day fund.
And we are mortgaged quite a bit, some of the
absolutely
state facilities, including the state capitol.
That's right. We owe $1.2 billion on the buildings, and some of the debt that we are paying off has been carried since 2002. But we borrowed money against the buildings, a pretty unique thing to do, to avoid having deeper cuts to education and access and things that people want, like even CPS, well, DES. CPS down here is a big issue. My son works with CPS down here. And it's something that needs to be dealt with in the next session. We're going to have to work hard and figure out another solution for CPS. But
you mentioned State Senator Paula Abboud from Tucson. She's been holding and had been holding this fall a series of forums concerning a flat tax. She sees that as a real threat if that is introduced in this session of the legislature, which she believes it will be.
It probably will. I don't know just what bills are coming forward, but it probably will be. And there's some things that are good about a flat tax. There's also some things it makes everyone pay a share, but it's probably a bigger increase on the poor than on anyone. It's something that needs to be looked at, and it has to be adjusted. I don't see it getting traction. I don't see it passing, but I think it's something that will be looked at.
Steve Pierce, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. You have your work cut out for you, and you're going to try to keep this session moving along with these bills, so hopefully it doesn't drag into the late hours of June 30th.
We do. It's 100 days is what we can do it in. We could do it in less. Our main job is to pass a budget and get out of there, and the state is not in harm when we are not in session.
Okay. Steve Pierce, the new state Senate president, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show. Have a great Christmas season. Thanks.
Thank you.
Lot.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Shelley Fishman is coming up next with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, some investment questions that every investor should be asking as we approach New Year's Eve. Stay with us.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Spiro Amori presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Spiro Amori. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Spiro Amori in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at SpiroAmoriPizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
It's 12:21 on the Buckmaster Show, and this is the time I look forward to every week to be with this guy, Shelley Fishman, because Shelley, he knows what's going on with money. And today we're going to be talking about investors' money. Shelley, first of all, good to see you.
Hi, Bill.
This is a frantic time of year, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Everybody's, you know, doing their holiday thing and the end of the year, and everybody's calling and saying, how did I do this year?
Yeah, they're all looking, hey, the New Year's Eve is like 3 weeks away. And it is a good time to be asking those questions and reflecting over the past 12 months. And as in an investor, what are some of the questions, the primary questions right off the top that you should be asking?
Well, the first question is to call your advisor, and the question you ask is, when can we get together in January to review last year's performance? So that's the first question. Now, what kind of questions should you be asking? First of all, how did I do last year? How did my investments do? Did they meet the objectives we set for them? How did they compare to the benchmarks that we laid out? In other words, if it's a very conservative investment portfolio, how did it do to the overall, with relationship to the overall bond market? If it's a equity-based, equity-heavy portfolio, how did it do against the S&P 500? How did it do against the Dow? So that you measure yourself against what others, what other results were, so that you know pretty much whether your portfolio is doing what you expect it to be doing. But the other thing that you absolutely have to be doing at this time of year is taking a look at the balance of your investments. If you started off, say, 70% in bonds and 30% in equities, and bonds did better than equities did, and you're reinvesting the dividends from the bonds back into bonds, your 70-30 at the end of the year is now probably 85-15. And if you think that 70-30 is still appropriate, you've got to do that rebalancing. And the beginning of the year is a really great time to do it. The other thing to be doing at the end of the year is taking a look at things that you lost money in, things that you gained money in, and recognizing losses and recognizing gains to what we call tax harvest. What you want to do is make sure that by the end of the year, you are looking at your tax situation and taking full advantage of long-term and short-term capital effects.
You know, when it comes
capital
to
gains effects.
When it comes to performance, and people love to say, well, how'd you do with your investments? You know, people talking there with their friends. It's really hard, though, to compare what your neighbor is doing with his portfolio and what you should be expecting, because every portfolio is going to be different.
Well, that's right. And very often, most often perhaps, they're apples and oranges. So you can have those discussions with your neighbors, especially if you've done particularly well. It's called gloating.
Yeah.
But the better person to have that discussion with is your financial advisor. Because that person should be able to put it in the proper perspective and measure it against your objectives and the things that you set out at the beginning of the year. You know, I had an experience yesterday. I was doing some Christmas cards, some holiday cards for some clients, and I just happened to be looking at some results, and I have a very conservative investor who's been with me for a long time. And I was writing out a Christmas card. I said, let me take a look at the account from beginning of the year to yesterday. It was up 17%.
Whoa.
Very conservative account of 17%. 17. Instead of sending her a card, I sent her the printout and said, Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic when you think about what a money market or some of these other instruments are paying.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is an account that's laden with two things. It's laden with treasuries and it's laden with municipal bond funds. And those two things have done very nicely this year.
What do you do about jettisoning, getting rid of some of the old underperformers? Should you necessarily, just because an investment product has been underperforming this past 12 months, should you stay with it? What are some of the questions that you need to ask there?
Well, the most important question is, did that investment match up to other similar investments? In other words, is the manager of that investment doing as well as his or her colleagues in managing similar type investments? If the answer is no, then get rid of it. Don't hesitate. Be merciless. Do it. Get rid of it. Then the question is, do I want to be back in similar types of investments? Are they still appropriate for me? Do I think that particular sector is going to do well? I'll give you a perfect example. The emerging markets this year, emerging market equities this year, have not performed well. And yet everybody agrees that they're going to outperform the rest of, well, certainly Europe, Japan, and the U.S.
In the long,
term,
it looks good. So why do you want to get rid of the emerging markets because of one bad year?
So, you know, if you saw a trend early in the year and you dumped them, maybe now's the time to get back into them. But I always believe in trusting your gut on certain things. You know, do sanity checks with people who are supposed to know. But if you think that something is not doing well, by all means, don't hesitate. Take your loss and then do an analysis about where that money should go back.
And for the last couple of years, Shelley Fishman has been right on with his prediction on the Dow. Where are you right now
in
that prediction?
Well, we're saying, I've been saying
12-4, 12-5. We're
charting
this year, your remaining two appearances of the year. Yeah,
I know. Okay. I've been saying 12-4, 12-5. We're up about 70 points today. So we're about 12-1 today, I think. We've got a little bit to go. Does December have a couple of 100 points left in it?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Shelley, what about this merger? I heard, of course, you're based over at Pyramid Credit Union, joining forces.
Yeah, the Pyramid Credit Union is going to be joining forces with a credit union called Telco Credit Union, and Tucson Telco Credit Union, actually.
This is good for everybody?
This is good for everybody. We're a merger of two relatively small credit unions. Pyramid has been number 6 in Southern Arizona. We'll still be number 6 after the merger, but we'll pick up about another 50% of our in terms of size, in terms of assets. So we'll have more assets, a little bit more leverage, certainly more members, and we're thrilled about that. The cultures of the two credit unions are the same. In fact, we share a branch up at Wetmore and Oracle and have for years.
And you are based at one of the Pyramid offices.
My base is at the Broadway office, but I will be at all now 5 offices during the course of my week.
And people, if they'd like to get a hold of you, investors, how do they do it?
795-7950. If I'm not there, just leave me a message. I return phone calls instantly.
Yeah, you really, you do.
Yeah, I do. I'm pretty good. Well, what happens, you know, when you leave me a message, no matter where I am, I get an email that says you've got a message.
You're always in touch, and we love that. Shelley Fishman, thank you very much, and we'll see you again before the official holidays. But again, happy holiday to you, Shelley.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The child sexual abuse case against former Penn State football coach Jerry Sandusky is headed to trial. Sandusky waived his right to a preliminary hearing today, where some of the 10 alleged victims had been expected to testify. The National Transportation Safety Board is urging states to ban the use of cell phones and other electronic devices by all drivers, except in emergencies. Italian authorities say a man opened fire in an outdoor market in Florence today, killing two vendors from Senegal and wounding three other immigrants before taking his own life. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 64 points, 12,085. The Nasdaq, 2 points in the red. The S&P is trading 3 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
It's 12:30. 1234 on the Buckmaster Show. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and it is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And, of course, our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We also have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, and the program is also streamed live at kvoi.com. And we're also very excited about the three venues that you can listen to our show really 24/7, anytime, anywhere in the world. And that would, of course, be on buckmastershow.com, the TucsonSentinel.com, that is Tucson's online news service, and our newest venue for listening to the program anytime is TucsonCitizen.com. So there are plenty of opportunities for you to catch the program. If you missed a program, you can, of course, go to BuckmasterShow.com, where we have archives of all of our programs. While all of the political attention in this country in the media has been focusing on next year's presidential election, our neighbors to the south are also preparing for a once-every-six-year presidential election. Keith Rosenblum is the Buckmaster Show contributor on the border. Keith also writes about the border for several publications, including Inside Tucson Business. He's the former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic and former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star, and he's the founder of the website MexLinks, and he is in Hermosillo on the Buckmaster Show live line. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I'm still hoping that you'll add some more superlatives to that presentation and just a longer bio so I can just, like, revel in hearing you flatter me.
Well,
you would, next time I'll send you get a longer list.
Well, do you want me to add that you're also a graduate of New Trier? Excuse me, I'm the graduate of New Trier High School, our big rival. You're the graduate of Evanston Township High School in Evanston, Illinois. Should I add that to your bio?
Anything that might bring about a further frenzy of love and perhaps check writing to me.
Hey, you are in Hermosillo. What's going on?
Well, actually, I'm doing stories right now. I'm working on some for a publication called Tech News Arizona. This one's going to be a story of land fraud, and I'm working on a couple of other pieces on Peñasco and continuing to kind of forage for stories that are other than the kind of steady diet of, you know, drug violence stories that we get to read about all the time, and weapon stories. Those are, you can't ignore those, but that's not what life's about. And if you were able to eliminate, if I'm able to not do them and tell people more ordinary stories, again, stories about industrial successes, stories about a roaring economy, stories that don't capitalize on morbosity, then I get to put in my two cents.
Keith, who is the front runner for winning the Mexican presidential elections?
What a great race it is. It's shaping up to be something that nobody could have predicted. But right now there's nobody. If anyone tells you that they have any inside track, they're lying. Right now, put your money equally on Andrés López Obrador, who's from the PRD, and who claimed that he was the legitimate president of Mexico 6 years ago, and has spent the last five years contending that he should have had the presidency. He's from the left party, formerly from the PRI. And then the PRI candidate himself, I was rooting for the former governor of Sonora, Governor Beltranes, or now Senator Beltranes, to be the candidate from the PRI. He got aced out by Enrique Peña Nieto, who's the past governor of the state of Mexico. The state of Mexico is the second largest of the 32 states and the most populous of them. And he's a very charismatic, good-looking guy, kind of like a Kennedy figure. But the last week or so, he's made a couple of major gaffes. They asked him at the Guadalajara Book Fair what his favorite book was, and he stumbled, and it was like one of those Herman Cain moments, but even more just painful and embarrassing. He couldn't think of anything. He confused names, confused authors. He said he had like dabbled in reading the Bible, so he actually made a kind of a fool out of himself.
And the
unknown quantity right now is who's going to come from the PAN, the party that has held the presidency for the last two terms, with President Fox first and now President Calderon. My hunch is that it's still going to go to the PRI, that's the way people want to take the country, that they're going to look for something other than what's perceived as being the failed drug war. As I say, the economy is actually quite good. The economy actually is better, I think, than an investor who is looking at Mexico right now, or the U.S., dollar for dollar, would actually opt for Mexico. You have a buoyant economy from one end of the country to the other, and that's not the issue, really, in this presidential election. But look for it to go to the PRI. But things will change in the before the election in July. There's 7 months now, so people have plenty of time to make gaffes or say really goofy things.
Keith Rosenblum is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line, and I have to wonder if he's really in Hermosillo. The phone line, the nice landline that you're giving us here is very nice. It sounds like you're in the next room.
Actually, Bill, I'm at the Burger King at Ajo and Palo Verde, and this was all just a ruse so that you and the readership, your listenership, rather, would think that I was in Mexico. No, I've been in Hermosillo, and the cool thing about communications here, and that's actually an important point in a kind of a elliptical way, is that what brings people, where years ago the high cost of communications and dropped calls and inability to have wiring infrastructure type of thing, that's something of the past. The Mexicans have spent for creating communications and transportation infrastructure all over. Now, their highways, a lot of them are toll highways, so you have to pay more. If you were going to put down, if you were going to come do the Buckmaster Show for a couple of days from Hermosillo and from an awful lot of places in Sonora, you would have absolutely first world communications and logistics kind of thing. This is what Mexico has had to do in order to compete not with the United States, but to compete with China and to compete with Singapore, and they're the markets where otherwise, Embraer or the airline industry, which they're looking very hard to attract, will wind up in. So that's where the country has had to invest profoundly in infrastructure.
I only got about 2 minutes with Keith Rosenblum, and I have two subjects, so quickly address these. Mexican shoppers, how does it look for them coming across to do their shopping this year?
Number one, they have money. They have money because the economy is, as I say, is sharp, and that means the economy of people who are working in Nogales and making the equivalent of, you know, $400 or $600 a month. They go across as pedestrians, and they'll shop in Nogales along Morley Avenue or Mariposa. If they get some money, they'll go up to Tucson. There's an awful lot of people who are in a different economy, a much more prosperous one, who will go to Tucson. To the malls, you'll see the license plates at Elcon and Park Place and Tucson Mall, from not just from Sonora, but from Sinaloa and Chihuahua and Durango. And then there's a number that continue on to Phoenix as well. You know, Phoenix maintains an office in Hermosillo where they tell people about what the deals are, and they advertise in the papers down here.
And so does Tucson, the convention.
That's correct, yeah. And Tucson does the same thing, and they're both very active. But I want to point out one other thing. There's as NAFTA has kicked in and as the economic times have changed, the advantages of going to Tucson are diminishing. That is, guess what? There's a Costco here in Hermosillo. There's the Walmart. That is to say that the advantage of where you could find things a lot cheaper in the U.S. versus buying them in the Mexican domestic market is diminishing, and there's not that many reasons now to be going to Arizona, or at least not as many as there were before.
Keith, final topic, the arrests of illegals down for the seventh straight year. That announcement has been made. Does the economy play into that?
Yeah, because the differentials is diminishing. You used to be able to make, doing the same job in Mexico as in the U.S., the differential is maybe 8 to 1. For every dollar you would earn in Mexico at that job, you would earn 8 or 10 in the States. Now maybe it's 4 to 1. There's a job market in Mexico that's made it less attractive to seek work outside the border anyway. I don't think that the presence, and now the number of times you have to try to cross to get into the U.S. through all the Border Patrol guys and Homeland Security measures makes it a tougher thing to get into the U.S. and then all the sanctions we have on employers. I'm not sure. I mean, it's been effective, and it's made it harder to get into the States, but the real story, I think, is that the Mexican economy is finally rewarding people for study and becoming engineers, and the incentives to go abroad looking for manual labor they haven't vanished, but they've diminished.
Keith Rosenblum talking with us from Hermosillo on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Thank you, Keith. The next time I'll try to keep your intro about your bio a little bit shorter so we'll have a little bit more time.
Well, just as long as you have words that are more flattering, that's okay.
Thanks, Keith. Have a great holiday season. Bye-bye.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
.48 on the Buckmaster Show, and every other week, our bi-monthly arts look at what's happening in our wonderful arts community with Margaret Regan. She is the Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, and we're happy to say she's the Buckmaster Show Arts Contributor. And Margaret, this is not only a busy time of year for shopping, it's a busy time of year for the art scene, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Bill. And, you know, this is the last full weekend before Christmas, and
I have so many events to tell you, I can hardly stand it.
Why don't we get right into it? We've got theater, music, dance, and art. We will cover it all over the next 11 minutes. Let's begin with theater at Borderlands.
Yeah. Well, this is one of my favorite annual traditions in Tucson, a Tucson Pastorella. It's a charming adaptation of The Shepherd's Tale to Southern Arizona and Tucson, and it's really funny. They rewrite it every year. You know, in Mexico, after the conquest, the friars used plays to teach the indigenous people about Christianity. So there's this whole tradition of these simple plays telling the Bible story, and the Pastorella is the one telling the story of the shepherd's search for the baby Jesus. Well, Borderlands every year rewrites this thing. It's in verse. It has lots of political references, contemporary references. And every year they change the theme. Last year it was about an Iraqi veteran wandering confused in our desert looking for redemption. Other times it's been about the migrants wandering the desert. I don't know what the hook is this year. And one of the most charming things about it is there's a Tohono O'odham Muila band that comes and plays every year.
Don't they call that chicken scratch music?
I think like maybe that. There's a distinction, and I'm not entirely sure.
I'll have to ask Big Jim Griffith
he would be able to
when
tell
we
you.
Have him coming on the show in a few weeks. But these Thursday through Sunday at the Leo Rich Theater.
Exactly.
We better move really right along fun. Here. Yeah. Daddy Long Legs.
Okay, now
at
this
the
is
ATC.
Not a not a Christmas show, Bill, but it's an extremely charming musical play. Almost the whole thing is sung, and it's based on this very old-fashioned novel written in 1912, a young girl plucked from an orphanage and sent to college, and the whole thing is told through her letters to her unknown benefactor, and as you can imagine, it turns into a love story, but it's utterly charming. I know somebody who went last weekend and loved it so much, they bought more tickets, they're going Thursday night again. The young woman who plays the orphan, Megan McGinnis, is spectacular. Beautiful voice.
That's Wednesday through Sunday. Plus, the final performance is next Wednesday, December 21st. And like you, I have heard nothing but wonderful things about Daddy Long Legs at ATC. So much for theater, music. TSO's got the big Pops holiday spectacular.
Yeah, that's a fun concert, a great big deal with the orchestra. But they also have lots of community musicians and dancers coming in. Tucson Regional Ballet will do little pieces, little tidbits of their Southwest Nutcracker, which I saw last weekend, and it's as fun as can be. And then they also bring in a mariachi band from Pueblo High School, which I think is really sweet. And lots of other singers, you know, singing Christmas carols. Big, spectacular, popular Christmas show.
If this weather keeps up, we'll all be in the Christmas spirit and Christmas mood for some of that Christmas music.
Yeah.
Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon at the TCC Music Hall for the TSO Pops Holiday Spectacular. Lots of dance, good dance going on.
Yeah, we still have
dance. Right up your alley.
We still have our Nutcrackers coming along in their cavalcade. This weekend is Ballet Rincon at Vail Center for the Performing Arts. One that I'd love to see that because I haven't been in that venue yet. Have you?
No, I have not.
I mean, Vail pulled it together to build themselves a very nice, state-of-the-art 600-seat auditorium.
Ooh, very nice.
It's on the campus of the high school.
I like
there.
That 500, 600-seat level. Gives you a nice kind of feel intimacy for the show.
Yeah, and it's kind of a serious young company. They've been doing the Nutcracker for a while, and I'd love to get out there and see them. And you've already talked about Dancing in the Streets
with Joey Rogers, the founder, yes.
Yeah, that's this weekend also, one night only on Sunday night. That's the one with kind of a Hispanic flair, but with guest artists who are young professionals doing excellent dance, and also a live orchestra.
Yes, that will be with the Civic Orchestra of Tucson, and those folks were also on the Buckmaster Show. I think it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
I lose track of that.
Yeah, I think it was two weeks ago.
Because
I remember we talked about that.
Zuzi is a theater company that you're very high on.
Well, it's a little dance company, actually.
I'm sorry. I said theater. A dance company. We're talking about
dance. They have their own theater.
I was thinking about theater with the... Okay.
Yeah, well, there are just so many arts, Bill. It's hard to keep them all straight. But they have their own theater, actually, in the old historic YMCA on University, in West University. They've been managing that little theater in there
like
for many
building.
Years
now. I like that building. That's now... has little theaters in there?
Yeah, that's... Huh. They a lot of different theater companies have been in there over the years. And Zuzi took it over quite a while ago now, at least 10 years, and they've run it as a studio and school and performance space, and other people rent it out. But this weekend is their solstice show. This is a tradition. I think this is their 14th one. You know, the solstice this year is December 22nd. That's the shortest day, longest night of the year. And many cultures have traditions around it. It's pretty much the reason Christmas really, who knows when the real Christmas actually yeah. took place. It pretty much, you know, was linked to that pagan tradition of bringing light to the darkness.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Hanukkah, the festival of the light, festival of the lights, ended up being around that time of year also, because these holidays are all about bringing light into the darkest night.
We're going to be talking about Hanukkah tomorrow here on the show, so we'll get the inside scoop
there. Yeah, ask about that, about the timing
now,
of it.
You'll be writing about Zuzi, the dance company, in the current issue of the Weekly. And when I say current, it'll be current as of late this afternoon when it hits the newsstands.
Wednesday.
Yeah. I was thinking today was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a little ahead of myself.
Yeah, yeah. I have a story about that in this week's Tucson Weekly. It's a dance performance with live music, which is quite nice. Pablo Peregrina, who's a local sort of folk musician, writes original songs, and all the dances will be around this idea of light.
And that is the 14th, we think it's the 14th annual Solstice Show. So that'll be fun. Lots of art going on, especially downtown. And you kind of constructed a downtown arts tour in the current issue of the week.
Yeah, that's out right now. So if you pick that up, you can take yourself on your own homemade tour of the downtown arts district. There are lots of galleries downtown right now. And you know, as I sat down to write that, I kept thinking, oh my goodness, you know, here's this one, here's that one. We have a brand new gallery downtown, Atlas Fine Arts Services. The two young men who are running that used to work at Firestone Gallery, which, you know, has been in Tucson for quite a while.
Eric Firestone, a friend of the Buckmasters.
Yeah, that's right. So they have a little gallery downtown, and they have quite a lovely, elegant little show of abstraction. And all the paintings are small size, ready for Christmas gifts.
And it's called Atlas?
Atlas.
Okay.
All caps.
All right.
Yeah.
Other stops on the tour?
Yeah. Obsidian Gallery is now downtown in the historic train depot on Toole. They have a beautiful space there. And this is a really fun show because it's large-scale sculpture on the floor. There's a wonderful sculptor in Tucson named Kurt Brill, who actually has a national reputation. He's got a big spread up at like Prince and Oracle or someplace. He's got a couple of lots up there where he makes these giant bronze figurative statues. They're sort of attenuated, stretched out, expressive figures. They have life-size ones on the gallery floor. They've been in museums. A couple years ago, he had a show of them, or an outdoor show of them, in the Library Plaza downtown. It'd be really fun to see him. And Michael Cajero, who does sort of very tempestuous, emotionally distraught figures, he's got his in there too. So that's a really fun place, fun venue. And one show that's really kind of interesting for Tucson. There's a Mexican artist living in Tucson, Martin Quintanilla, and he kind of gave the devil's eye to lots of architecture and happenings in Tucson. And his show is called Martin Quintanilla's Tucson. He's got these crazy paintings of downtown architecture with devils flying around on them and hellfires underneath. So kind of a wickedly funny, wry look at our city. There's a giant...
Put you in a holiday mood, right?
Well, they're fun.
Okay.
They're fun paintings. Yeah. One of them is a giant painting of a mountain with the Convento when it was still there. You probably know the Convento has become a huge point of dispute in their whole Rio Nuevo fiasco. They were to rebuild it, and that never happened. But the reason we don't have it in the first place is that... after we took over this town from the Mexican people, we allowed that convento to deteriorate, and we finally bulldozed it. So this painting kind of takes a little bit of a look at that history, giant wall-sized mural of Tucson. And
of course, Tucson at one time had the finest two-story, multi-story adobe architecture in really the West before the Tucson Convention Center.
Yeah, that's right.
And then whole neighborhoods were bulldozed.
Right.
Anyway, Margaret Regan, we will see you in 2 weeks, and then we'll have even a longer list because then we've got New Year's Eve coming up.
Oh, my goodness.
Christmas will be over by the time your next visit with us, so we want to wish you a wonderful Christmas and holiday season, and then we'll be talking about the new year with you 2 weeks from today.
Great.
Thanks
well, you
a
have
lot.
A nice Christmas too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Margaret Regan, Tucson Weekly Arts Editor and Buckmaster Show contributor. She's with us every other Tuesday, and today we had lots to talk about on the art scene. Thanks a lot, Margaret.
You're welcome.
The Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com for all your CPA needs. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to the new Senate President who was with us, and Keith Rosenblum checking in from Mexico, and Shelley Fishman on the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, and of course, Margaret Regan. Tomorrow we'll be talking about perhaps a bond election for Pima County. Larry Hecker will be with us. Have a great afternoon. Try to stay dry. See you tomorrow.
Ten thirty KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 9:30 KAPR Douglas, and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.